The Legacy of Ball, Chapter 4. His brace holds his back, but does not hold him back. I didn't really understand what scoliosis was. All I knew was that on August 8th, 2006, Michael, at the age of 7, was diagnosed with juvenile scoliosis. When he went to the specialist in Michigan, he was a couple of bad doctor reports away from spinal surgery, and the surgeries to treat scoliosis looked horrific. There were metal rods, growth pins, wires, multiple surgeries along the way as he grew. Initially, I wasn't concerned about basketball or any elite sport. That was the farthest thing from my mind at the time. Rather, I was concerned about Michael playing outside, running around with his friends, dealing with the psychological effects of being different, and the long and tenuous road ahead. He was so little to have been given this sentence by God. He did nothing wrong. And while I knew it wasn't a life-threatening illness like some of the dreaded diseases that inflict children, this was a rough set of cards to have been dealt. The future was truly unknown. There was only one option. Michael had to wear a back brace from this point forward until he stopped growing sometime around 17 years old. 10 years of preventative treatment, and if we were lucky, 10 years of praying, 10 years of growth, 10 years of doctor's appointments, 10 years of twisting, bending, and manipulating his spine, 10 years of wearing a brace 20 to 24 hours a day. This brace was hard, plastic, turtle-shelled, full torso contraption, with 3 wide Velcro straps in the back that looped around a metal locking system and pulled as tight as possible. It had several extremely hard pads that press against his spine in strategic places from multiple directions to squeeze it and keep it from bending and twisting further in the wrong direction. We had to actually redirect the growth of the bones that made up his spine. His curve was also 3-dimensional, so his correction was particularly challenging. He had the classic S-curve as well as a spinal twist that created a visible hump on his shoulder. At least it was visible to me. All I could think of was that scene from the movie Young Frankenstein when Dr. Frankenstein looked at Igor and said, "You know, I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I can help you with that hump," to which Igor looked at him with those beady eyes and responded, "What hump?" Initially, we were not sure how to handle the situation. We didn't know when he should wear it and when he should take it off. We didn't know whether or not he should play sports with it. So there we were on the soccer field that first week after he started wearing the brace. He was out there, the big kid that he was, but now, under his shirt, he had an equivalent of gilded armor. We knew it, he knew it, but no one else knew it. We called it his superhero armor. He had the soccer ball dribbling down the sidelines as slow and awkward as ever, and this tiny little shit came running up to him to steal the ball, and the kid was skilled, coordinated, and fast. He knew how to play. It was a great soccer move on his part, but he had no idea what hit him, or rather, he had no idea what he had hit. He slammed into Michael and bounced off him like he was a pinball wizard hitting a bumper and slamming onto the floor. Michael was standing there with the soccer ball, and the kid was sitting on the ground looking up at him, wondering what had just happened. If a kid had ever had a look of, "What the fuck just happened to me?" that was it. Michael smiled and started running again, dribbling the ball with more confidence than ever. He loved his armor. It was going to work well for him. He was ultimately more than a little disappointed when we told him he could no longer wear his superhero armor when he was playing sports. While everyone knew Michael wore a back brace, none of the kids he played hoops with had an issue with it, other than one incident at summer camp where Michael took care of business by kicking some bunk mate's ass for making fun of him. The boys around Michael were kind and helpful. They didn't care. Many of Michael's teammates helped him put the brace on and take it off when needed. We were concerned that he would not develop the muscles to support his basketball activities. We were concerned that he would get injured often and as a result of this disease. The treatments and exercises we all focused on to help him were stretching, core work, strength training, body work in the form of therapeutic massages. I supported all of it as often as needed. And Michael found his peeps. He was not shy. He had hours and hours of work. He spent countless hours strengthening his core, getting his body massaged, and preparing for hoops. And when we got ready to play, I taught him how to stretch before a game. Before each game, we went through a routine that started with moving his head and neck side to side, rolling his right, rolling to his left, his shoulders and triceps, his core twisting right and left, forward and back, his back bending forward and backward, his quadriceps and hips, hamstrings and knees. He ended with stretching his calves and his ankles. It was the same routine every time. It was important to repeat this 10-minute routine so he could learn from it and ultimately do it on his own. Between the stretching and strengthening and bracing, I think we had it covered. When Michael went to Michigan for his final doctor visit on September 4th, 2015, it was an emotional moment. He was released from prison. He was done. He was not cured because there is no cure, but he was done. From that point forward, nothing held him back. Nothing could keep him from working out any hour of the day or night. He was freed of his turtle-like plastic straitjacket. His scoliosis did not hold him back.